Welcome to Forward Talks, a podcast by Gumbook about moving towards sustainability in our region and beyond. I'm Tatiana Antonelli, and I hope you're continuing to stay safe and listening to this from the comfort of your home. Our guest today is Maria Silampa, founder of Sustainability Advisory, which is set up as an international network of sustainability specialists. We spoke to Maria many weeks ago, before the coronavirus restrictions were in place in Dubai, when they released their report, Conscious Consumer UAE State of Play 2019. This was a first-of-its-kind survey in the UAE, with 1,300 respondents to understand how important sustainability is to the UAE consumer and how it affects their consumer behavior. Maria is originally from Finland and has been in sustainability and corporate social responsibility all her life. She moved to Dubai in 2007 to set up Sustainability Advisory in the country.
12 years ago, awareness of the concept sustainability was relatively low. And I guess the kind of first movers in terms of companies were those in the kind of high-risk sectors. So, for instance, oil and gas. So if you look at, for instance, the ADNOC family of companies, they were probably one of the very early reporters in sustainability reporters in this space. But those companies were still, I guess, kind of few and far between. Mostly executives were talking about CSR back in that day. And by CSR, I guess, the focus was quite often on charitable activity, community involvement, so kind of foundation work, and slightly ad hoc initiatives. It was something that, you know, the CSR department somewhere there took care of it. It wasn't my business as a HR executive or procurement executive or whatever I did. It was somebody else's responsibility. It was about doing good. But this is going to start to shift where companies are beginning to say a clear difference between CSR and then sustainability. 10 years ago, if you said climate change, it would have gone into the environmental bucket. But now people see it clearly that, you know, climate change is not an environmental issue only. It's environment, it's social, it's economic. So you need to look at it through a more holistic, more strategic lens.
Who do you think is now driving the change opposed to before?
Good question. Very good question. I think most of the change is still happening, what I would say, behind the scenes. And by behind the scenes, I mean sort of B2B. B2B is in that sector, the drivers are very significant and they are very closely business aligned. So when an international big corporation comes into this region and say they're looking for a logistics company, their tendering process will very specifically have sustainability in there. So they are coming in a way that are not necessarily hugely visible to everyday consumer. So that I see a lot. I'm seeing investors driving quite a bit of especially big projects in this region. So we're looking at, for instance, what's happening in Saudi at the moment with the, not just the mega projects, but the kicker projects. Mm-hmm. Funding is coming from, say, the World Bank or through IFC, International Finance Corporation. They have very, very strict due diligence processes that include social and environmental issues. During the last couple of years, we've also seen companies in the consumer, kind of fast-moving consumer sector and retail, beginning to move. Yeah. And kind of following, I suppose, the footsteps of their corporate headquarters. So often, if you look at companies like, say, for instance, IKEA, They've had a very, very robust sustainability program for a number of years at corporate level. And now that's sort of trickling down to regional level. And, you know, that I can see that with many companies, you know, the Unilevers and Ikeas, et cetera, et cetera. They're beginning to look at what does it look like regionally? What do we need to do?
Finally, if I can add that.
Alhamdulillah.
I've noticed that you mentioned many times the word consumer.
Mm.
And so far, it seems that we haven't given the consumer the right voice. And this is just, you know, to a bit introduce the fact that you recently conducted a groundbreaking study named Conscious Consumer UAE, State of Play 2019, the first of its kind in the UAE. And so you've also, you know, given out a lot of interesting data on what the consumer in the UAE today is expecting from these big companies and these big names who have hidden agendas in sustainability that we're not aware of. And somehow you're saying we can't see what's happening, but there is a lot happening. So tell us more. What are we expecting, or what do we want, or what is it that we are happy about sometimes? Are we happy about anything?
Well, a bit of background on the study. I think the study was born out of, our individual passion for sustainability and kind of passion to advance the sustainability agenda in this country and in this region. The core team behind this, we've lived here for a number of years, and so we're kind of not part of, I suppose, the transient community kind of coming and going, but we're here, this is our home. And I'm keen to contribute to building the nation in a sustainable way. And the passion is there. The frustration came from, I guess, from numerous conversations with both public sector representatives and business executives, where we were advocating that, you know, the consumer behaviours are changing, and people will be expecting companies and public sector organisations to behave differently. And there was a lot of pushback here. People were saying, it's not true here. People don't care. And our everyday experience as individuals, from our own friends and family and network and what we just saw with our own eyes, told us a different story. There was no data, there was no statistics available. And typically, if UAE or Saudi featured in any international studies, they didn't tend to kind of be a footnote in that study. So we didn't have any, there wasn't a benchmark. And because this was the first study here, we invested a lot of time and effort in the qualitative phase so that, you know, we could really understand what people thought about this, not just, you know, sit in our own office and write a survey, but talk to people. So we organized a whole string of what we call discovery cafes, which is basically a form of focus groups, but slightly more informal methodology. 9 of those in different Emirates had over 150 participants talking about this topic. So over 25 hours of conversation, which was then analysed, and based on that, we designed an online survey, which we ran last year.
Okay, so this was a pre-phase to understand exactly how to formulate the survey. So it seems that we've come to the point where our dirham is the one that is voting somehow for the businesses and the products that we like. But could you share with us some statistics?
So I guess the starting point as the first insight was that we found these characters. Conscious consumers do exist. And people are very, very keen. They're committed to sustainable lifestyle. So incredibly high number, like 97%, said yes, we committed to at least a degree. We committed to a sustainable lifestyle. Okay, there's a but there is that it's always easy to say yes, I'm committed to. So the whole kind of if you talk to market researchers, they would get, oh, yeah, that's a socially desirable answer. You would say that you're committed because that's what you expect. You expect it to answer. But the rest of it then is exploring, okay, so the commitment's there. How does it manifest? How real is that commitment? So then if you drill down in terms of, you know, if you ask people, how are they actively seeking for alternative products and services? How active are you? Are you comparing, contrasting what you're buying, what you're consuming? Almost 60% of people said that yes.
It went down already by a 30%.
It did, but if you think that it's almost 60%, that's a significant number.
Just to put things into perspective, so what was the total amount of people who took the survey?
For the quantitative, 1,300. So we were really, really pleased.
And were you able to track them? So do you know where they were, which Emirates?
We did. So they're across all the Emirates, most of them Dubai and Abu Dhabi, but they're the big Emirates anyway in terms of population. But and over 90 nationalities. So we are happy about how representative the results are, for especially for a benchmark. Diving into the level of commitment. So the commitment's there. People are looking for alternatives, that's for sure. But then when you ask, have you rejected any brands or products or specific services, then almost 80% of people say yes. That is very, very high. Mm. So that's a sort of clarion bell to businesses going, guys, people are rejecting your products and choosing alternatives actively. And over 80% of people said that they've knowingly paid more for these alternatives. People don't think that it's fair that they have to pay more for more sustainable alternatives, but they still have. So product A, product B, B is more sustainable, it's more expensive. 80% of people, over 80% of respondents are still saying, I still buy it.
Showing commitment.
That is high. And although we haven't done a systematic comparison with international results, but just looking at some of the key results, this is very high. And then there's a frustration, which is very strong, and I guess stronger than, for instance, in many markets in Europe, about the availability of alternatives, whether products or services. So people want more, and they're not finding it. They're finding it difficult to find information about where to get alternative products, and just the range of alternative products that are available is a frustration. One of the strongest reflections of the level of commitment is that there is a smaller group of people who are saying, we're now making our own products. Because we're not finding the alternatives, we've started to make products. So these are sort of the deep green eco warriors. But both during the qualitative conversations and the quantitative survey, it was clear that this group is there and they're very vocal.
Are you able to quantify this group?
Well, when we asked about whether people are buying or making eco-friendly cleaning products or toiletries, for instance, that was over one third.
Wow.
And in the qualitative phase, we came across a lot of these people who were making their cleaning products, their toiletries, toothpastes, shampoo, but also the whole kind of dynamic of refusing. So, for instance, people stopping to order in, cooking themselves more. So that's a kind of refusal, and I'm not going to order in because of the over-packaging. And these zero waste people are certainly there. So to an extent, you know, there might be a sustainable product in terms of, say, a cleaning product, that would be acceptable. But because it's in plastic bottle, then they go, well, I'm just going to make it myself. Sorry. So that's a very, very strong indication that, and there are kind of clubs out there sharing this information of how to, and obviously on social media as well. All in all, then kind of that leads to people feeling very strongly that businesses must offer more solutions, but also the frustration about how trustworthy consumers feel that the information given by businesses is at the moment. That it was difficult in terms of labeling or information to understand how do you make assessments about what's sustainable and what's not.
Talking about labeling, there's something that I'd love to ask you. Did anyone in this survey express the desire of having an entity that could, you know, audit all these brands or somehow reassure as a right of the consumer that what they're saying is actually true? When I say this is what you say everywhere, 100% natural ingredients, what does that mean? You know, I mean, and sometimes you see that on a bottle of milk. It's like, yeah, well, where should my milk come from? Of course, it should be 100% natural. So there's a lot of somehow greenwashing going on.
Well, I think a couple of things that we heard. One is that people want stricter regulation in many respects, but marketing was one of them. So give us credible, trustworthy information. For instance, one of the slightly unnerving results was that when we asked people to name brands or companies that they trusted and respected for their sustainability practices, only 36% were able to mention one brand.
And was it any brand recurrent?
there was a fairly wide range of companies and brands that they were referred to, but the number of respondents who were able to say, yes, I respect this company, was extremely low. So trust levels are quite low.
What is your role now with this information? So will you, or have you already approached government bodies, authorities, and standardization authorities into trying to make them understand this?
We're in the process, absolutely in the process of. So, as I said earlier, one of the key reasons for doing this was not just to generate insight, but to find a pathway to action. So what we're doing right now is reaching out to organisations, both in the private and public sectors. And what we're offering is specific workshops to kind of work through the detail of these findings and help organisations to reflect on these results. What are the action points? How can we act? Where are the quick wins? What are the longer term goals that we can pursue? So that's one, and helping them to kind of not just to explore the results, but then prioritise and move to action. So kind of collaborative innovation and innovation sessions to create solutions.
What are for you the most pressing points of 2020?
Commitment from world leaders. It really needs to happen. And we see this with, for instance, climate change, with Paris Agreement, et cetera, that, you know, short-term political interests prevent real collaborative action. Final note, I think one of the positive insights coming from this is that although consumers want businesses and government to do more, they also accept their own responsibility and see this as a joint responsibility. So this is not just about finger pointing, that, you know, somebody else is going to save the world and I don't need to do anything. People accept that everybody needs to contribute and work together. And that's very, very encouraging. And it's completely in line with, you know, sustainable development goals in terms of SDG 17, which is all about partnering for sustainability. And this is why, this is one of the reasons why we did this. We want to kind of inform that dialogue and that collaboration, specifically in UAE. This is where we are. These are the key issues that are emerging from consumers. Let's now act.
You can find a link to the Conscious Consumer UAE report in our show notes if you'd like to check it out. And we'd love to hear what you think. Contact us on Instagram at Goombook, on LinkedIn, or on our site, goombook.com. Thank you for joining us on this episode. You can find all of our previous episodes in your favorite podcast player, as well as on the web at goombook.com/podcast. Thank you.